This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. And here you thought I'd gotten lost. But no, here I am again. Here's your Daily News Brief, again, from the dead, as it were. In today's news brief, you will hear how Chief Justice John Roberts is a eunuch, Black Lives Matter is full-on white supremacist, and Mississippi is preparing a sacrifice to the gods. First up, John Roberts still can't find his man parts. According to NPR, a sharply divided U.S. Supreme Court on Monday stood by its most recent abortion precedent. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the court's four liberals, citing the Supreme Court's adherence to precedent to invalidate a Louisiana law that required doctors at clinics that perform abortions to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital. Louisiana's law is virtually identical to one struck down by the court in 2016, which found that the admitting privileges law in Texas was medically unnecessary because the babies were already dead. No, not really. It's just that's just what they said. It was medically unnecessary and that it significantly limited access to abortion. But since then, the composition of the court has changed significantly, and abortion opponents had high hopes that the new conservative majority would reverse course. Roberts, who dissented from the 2016 decision, apparently decided, however, that the value of abiding by precedent was more important, or else he decided that he didn't want to die. He didn't want to get in trouble. He didn't want the people with pitchforks and torches coming to his door tonight. In his concurring opinion, Roberts wroteThat, quote, the legal doctrine of stare decisis requires us, absent special circumstances, to treat like cases alike. This is the law, he says. You have to obey precedent. The Louisiana law imposes a burden on access to abortion just as severe as that imposed by the Texas law for the same reasons. You see what he's doing, right? This tiny little concern about precedent is trumping the murder of babies. Writing for the Plurality, Justice Stephen Breyer said that the Louisiana law would place substantial obstacles in the path of women seeking an abortion in the state, that it offers no significant health-related benefits, and the law consequently imposes an undue burden on a woman's constitutional right to choose to have her child pulled apart in her womb, and therefore violates the Constitution. Yes, substantial obstacles. That's the point of the law. It was trying to do that. In a dissenting opinion, Justice Clarence Thomas, God bless that man, wrote that, quote, our abortion precedents are grievously wrong and should be overruled. Now that's a man. That's a man on the court. We have one man, apparently. Maybe we have three others. But Justice Clarence Thomas is a man. He says that the High Court has neither jurisdiction nor constitutional authority to declare Louisiana's duly enacted law unconstitutional. A liberal watchdog at Vox was not so impressed by Weasel Roberts. According to Vox, the best reading of the court's decision in June Medical Services versus Russo, is the name of the Supreme Court decision, is that Roberts just gave the constitutional right to an abortion a very brief stint on life support. So this is a hard leftist journal, and he's more skeptical. He thinks that Roberts just barely gave a brief stint on life support to abortion rights, and he did so largely because Louisiana presented the weakest possible case in June Medical. Again, this is the Vox writer. He says, as Justice Stephen Breyer notes in his plurality opinion, June Medical involves a Louisiana law that is almost word for word identical to a Texas law the Supreme Court struck down 4 years ago in Whole Women's Health versus Hellerstadt, 2016. Both laws require abortion providers to obtain admitting privileges at a hospital near the clinic where they perform abortions in order to continue to provide them, a credential that is very difficult for abortion providers to obtain, I wonder why, and that does little or nothing to improve health outcomes. Right. Suddenly, no one cares about health. You have to wear a face mask because it might maybe save a life, because 0.000 whatever chance that someone who comes down with COVID might die. But in this case, when there's a death in every single situation and far more harm, suddenly, no one cares about health anymore. The court voted 4-1-4 with Justice Stephen Breyer writing a plurality opinion for that case, that was the Texas one, for himself and his three liberal colleagues, and Roberts wrote a separate opinion emphasizing the narrowness of his approach to that case. Only one thing has changed between June Medical and Whole Women's Health, the Vox writer notes. Justice Anthony Kennedy, a relatively moderate conservative who cast the key fifth vote to strike down the Texas law, is no longer on the court, and his replacement, Justice Brett Kavanaugh, opposes abortion rights. Kavanaugh dissented in June Medical. So, abortion opponents apparently bet that the replacement of Kennedy with Kavanaugh would allow them to litigate Whole Woman's Health all over again, but with a different result. Apparently, they bet wrong. The fact that June Medical is almost entirely identical to Whole Woman's Health forms the basis of Roberts' opinion. I joined the dissent in Whole Woman's Health and continue to believe that the case was wrongly decided, the Chief Justice writes. Nevertheless, the question today, however, is not whether Whole Woman's Health was right or wrong, but whether to adhere to it in deciding the present case. That is insanity. That is ludicrous. That is ridiculous. Is there another word I can come up with? He's writing to differ with himself, to argue with himself. This is the kind of brilliance we have as the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Ultimately, Roberts concluded that the principle of stare decisis, the doctrine that courts should generally be bound by their prior decisions, compels them to strike down Louisiana's law. The result in this case is controlled by our decision 4 years ago in validating a nearly identical Texas law, Roberts concludes. This Vox writer fears that Roberts' opinion is laden with hints that in a future case, he is likely to vote to restrict or even eliminate the constitutional right to an abortion. The Vox writer says Roberts opens his opinion by declaring that he still believes that Whole Woman's Health was wrongly decided, even though he's now voting against himself. He notes that neither party has asked us to reassess the constitutional validity of the court's seminal abortion rights decision in Planned Parenthood versus Casey back in 1992. A hint that if future litigants directly attacked Casey, Roberts will welcome such a challenge. I doubt it. The writer again says he spends as much of his opinion attacking Breyer's approach to this case as he does explaining why he reluctantly voted to honor the previous precedent. Whole Woman's Health, Roberts notes, states that the rule announced in Casey requires that courts consider the burdens a law imposes on abortion access together with the benefits those laws confer. But balancing these burdens against these benefits, Roberts suggests, is entirely beyond the capacity of the judiciary. He goes on with a paragraph quoting how he believes that the ability of the court to actually balance that is nearly impossible. The Vox writer is afraid that that's an intimation by Roberts that he would be willing to overturn Casey. But I think this Vox writer is fear-mongering to his liberal base. Remember, this is the same Roberts who only recently sided with the liberal justices, insisting that California and other states must be free from federal interference when states make restrictions based on compelling health concerns. Remember, in the whole COVID aftermath, there was a case before the Supreme Court suing California for its regulations to the COVID crazy. And Chief Justice Roberts sided with the liberal justices, saying that the federal court should not interfere with states making restrictions based on compelling health concerns. Compelling health concerns. Not interfere with states who have health concerns. Now here comes a state claiming a compelling health concern. And Roberts claims that precedent compels him to vote against who? Himself. What this is, ladies and gentlemen, is what is known as sophistry. Playing with words, heaping up empty arguments, or I don't know what. Which is why you should join us for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd, this fall. Nashville is open. We are going. There will be no face masks. Rowdy Christian Media meets the conference world, not for the faint of heart. We think it will be like a steamroller running over soft butter. Psalm singing, punch you in the gut talks, covering a range of topics from education to politics to history to economics and creativity. The conference will conclude with a massive Fight Laugh Feast network mashup with representatives from all your favorite shows, all on one show, fighting, laughing, and feasting. And then we really will feast together with food trucks, bringing in dinner to close out the conference. So please join us this October 1st through the 3rd as we build a rowdy Christian culture for God's glory and our good. Go to FightLaughFeast.com and register today. Also, Black Lives Matter. Full white supremacist. Seriously, I mean, they just need the white sheets. Adam Ford reports over at Discern. As protests escalated in Washington, D.C., Monday, a white Black Lives Matter protester was filmed brutally harassing and taunting a black officer and calling him the N-word to his face. I'm not going to quote everything he said. He was being foul and ugly and disgusting. Now, whether or not this is representative of Black Lives Matter or not, he was at the Black Lives Matter protest. He was standing with the Black Lives Matter people. Whether they denounced him, whether they threw him off the train, I don't know. Maybe you can let me know. But I would like to take this opportunity to point out that Black Lives Matter really is full tilt white supremacist in other respects. First, the head honchos of the organization are self-consciously Marxists. There's videos out there. You can find them. They're like, we are Marxists. That's what we're doing. We're trying to stir up trouble. We want to make a revolution. We're Marxists. We're trained Marxists. Okay? So there you go. You know, there's a bunch of Christians out there that are like, no, there's not Marxism. There's no Marxism in our country. There's no Marxism and there's no intersectionality Marxism. None of that's happening. And the Black Lives Matter leaders are like, no, we're Marxists. That's what we're doing. Marxism is materialistic. Everything is reduced to matter. There's no spirit. There's no morality, which means that Darwin was right. Charles Darwin, arch racist, was right, just being consistent with what he believed. And therefore, racism is perfectly acceptable, right? The strongest survive, fittest survive. That's racism, right? If there's certain races that are stronger, better, they have every right to survive and crush anything in their way. There's no right or wrong. It's just might makes right. That's what materialism requires. And besides, Marxism is just one of the whitest, most elitist ideas dreamed up by fallen man. Okay, we can add to that all the other leftist dreams going back to FDR's New Deal, the advent of Social Security and the welfare state that belittled black men, saying basically, you're not strong enough, you're not sharp enough, you're not wise enough, you're not creative enough to actually compete and support your own families and compete in the public square with your businesses here. Let us help you, which basically destroyed the black family. And then we have Roe versus Wade that has crushed millions of black babies, disproportionately crushed black babies, all the way down to the most recent Bostock Supreme Court decision that has effectively erased black women, all coming at you from the lefty revolution currently led by who? Black Lives Matter, which translated apparently means black lives don't matter at all, you naive idiots. Mississippi, though, is moving forward with a sacrifice to the raging gods. Speaking of naive idiots, I would say it's probably Republicans in Mississippi leading the charge. The Hill reports the Mississippi State House advanced legislation to change the Magnolia State's flag, the last in the country that still includes the stars and bars of the Confederacy. The resolution would establish a commission to redesign the flag with the goal of removing the Confederate battle emblem. The resolution is the first legislative effort to change the flag since 2001. Voter initiative was batted down by a nearly 2-1 margin. The flag was adopted in 1894 by white lawmakers and is the last in the nation. I'm sure white. Yeah. Last in the nation to conclude the Confederate emblem. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, Republican, on Saturday for the first time came out in support of the bill after saying that a flag change should be left up to the voters previously. The legislature has been deadlocked for days as it considers a new state flag. He wrote in a Facebook post, the argument over the 1894 flag has become as divisive as the flag itself, and it's time to end it. If they send me a bill this weekend, I will sign it. For economic prosperity and for a better future for my kids and yours, we must find a way to come together, to heal our wounds, to forgive, to resolve. The page has been turned, to trust each other. With Zeus's help, we can, he added. Okay, he didn't say Zeus. He said God. But which God is he talking about? We have no idea. Aphrodite? Athena? Or it's not the Christian God. You're not actually appealing to the triune God. Are you, Governor Reeves? The state has received a flood of criticism over its flag and widespread protests for racial justice following the police killings of George Floyd and other black Americans. Racial justice. What is just about removing ancient landmarks? You know, unless the landmark was put there and harmed somebody in the putting of it there, how is this justice? How is this equity? How is this putting something right? How is giving in to the demands of a violent protest helping to anyone? It's not helping anything. The god of mob justice is bloodthirsty and not so easily appeased. The only thing this sacrifice will serve to do is demonstrate that demands can be met in a weekend if you only shriek loud enough. This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik News. You can find this and all our shows at CrossPolitik.com or FightLaughFeast.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Our app is the only way to get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey. Support Rowdy Christian Media and become a Fight Laugh Feast club member. And for a limited time, you can get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt, access to tons of content, biblical counseling, God and government, pastors and politics, end times eschatology, Proverbs with me, our very own Worldview Shotgun series. You will also get $100 off your registration for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference. All you have to do is email Gabe, the water boy. Email him, and he'll give you a code. You punch it in, sign up, get $100 off. You come to Nashville, you sing psalms, you get punched in the gut, you go home glorifying God. That's what you need. October 1st and 3rd. Go to FightLaughFeast.com to register now.